this Romans 11 and verse 26, there are some verses in the Bible that just absolutely just astound people when you really look into them. You can read over it in 20 seconds. And it's just, you just think you know what's there. And there are so many doors that go from there into different areas, like this verse right here. It's just unbelievable. We talked about this. We introduced it to you last week, just a little bit. Just a little. You could take a whole hour on this verse at least, I do believe. 11 and 26. Can anyone start this off and read it for me? I want to see how good Greek scholars you are. No, I mean in Greek. In Greek. Rebecca, can you start that off easily, can't you? Kai. All right. Hutos. All right. Pos. Israel. I said that in Greek. I mean Hebrew. Israel. All right. So, theis, ete. Kathos. Gegrapte. Hexe. What's the next one? Ek. Zion. Ho. Rumenos. Now that ruminos there, you have to breathe with that. See that rough breathing? It'll just say, ruminos. Rum. Breathe out. Ruminos. Okay? Apostrepse. Asabios. Apo. And what's the last one? Yekabu. Well, I did it again. Jacob. All right. Not Yekabu. All right. There's Jacob. Let's go back and look at it. And in this manner, so or in this manner, Chi is on page what in the analytical Greek lexicon? You remember that one yet? Page 208. All right. And hutos. That's a little adverbial thing. It means thusly or in this manner. All right. Or thus, so, in this manner. All. A little adjective. All Israel. All Israel. All Israel shall be saved. Marilyn, could you turn that thing down over there? I know that that is getting into the camera. Is that? It's overdoing me. All right. Shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All right? Just as in this matter, it has been written. Look at that. Shall be saved. Third person singular future. Indicative passive. Let's kind of look at the verb here now, okay? Future means what? That something's going to happen in the future. All right? Something yet to happen, okay? And then indicative mode is what? Is it a statement of what? Statement of fact. All right? And in English, when we say something is indicative, we mean it is this a what? True or a fact. All right? And now passive voice. Passive voice. When you are in the passive voice, what's going on? Something's happening to you. All right? The only way for a man to get saved is for you, God, to save you. You're not going to save yourself. That's not going to happen. Okay? You don't get saved. You don't get yourself saved. You are saved. You are saved. Brother Bill, I remember when you came to my class, how many, 10 years ago now? How long has it been?
About 12 or 13.
12 or 13 years ago when he came to my class, he came out of a church that did not teach security of the believer. And that poor man, every time he went to bed, he didn't know whether he was going to die in hell or wake up in hell or in heaven, did you?
Never did feel safe.
You just didn't know for sure that you were safe.
And we went to church from the time we were married, so that was like 30-something years.
Yeah. That's a miserable feeling, isn't it?
It was.
It's miserable. You don't know. What, are you going to heaven or hell? And you're religious and you're trying to do the best, but you don't know whether you're going to get there or not. It just, you don't know. Well, you don't have anything to do with it, do you? Now, you know. It's not what you do, it's what Jesus did. Isn't it? We know that. All right? All Israel shall be saved. If any person in Israel, if any individual in Israel is saved, they're going to have to look to Jesus. Now, what's the problem with Israel and Jesus? Today. Huh? They reject Him. They reject Him today. The whole purpose of the tribulation period coming on Israel is to bring them to God. Paul the Apostle would like to have seen all Israel to be saved. All spiritual Israel is going to be saved. We know that. And we're not going into replacement theology here either. If you're born of God, you're spiritually a Jew. You're grafted in to the Abrahamic line, into the Abrahamic promise. And you're a spiritual Jew. Okay? I don't want to go into it much further than that, but that's what Paul says in different places here. And there's so much in this verse, we're just going to take one little step at a time, okay? Shall be saved, that's third person singular, future, indicative, passive, and then kathos, that comes from kata and hos. Alright? And just as it has been written, third person singular, perfect tense. What's the perfect tense? The perfect tense. Something that's already done. Alright? Something that's already been done. Alright? Like Ephesians 2 and 8. Ye are having been saved. That's a beautiful verse. It says, what does it say in King James anyway? I don't even know. Ephesians 2 and 8. I have looked at it in Greek so long. For in grace ye are having been saved. Through faith. What?
For by grace you have been saved.
Yeah. Alright. For by grace, for immersed in grace, you are having been saved. That's perfect tense. You are having been saved. It's done. Through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God. Alright. Now it says here, third person saying they're perfect tense. It's done. Indicative and passive. Indicative means what? Statement of fact. And passive voice, none upon you. All right. He shall come. All right, he shall come. By the way, I don't have he shall come, but he, put capital H-E down there. He shall come. Hexe. That comes from heckle. He shall come. Third person singular, future indicative active. Look at that again. He shall come, ek, Sion. Sion. Now, Sion. Sion. That's the word, Sion. All right, Sion. Now, in Hebrew, it's like that. All right? Sion. Sion in Hebrew means fortress. In Hebrew means fortress. In Greek, it means something higher, something projected higher. Now, Sion is a hill in Jerusalem. Here's Mount Moriah, but back over there on Sion, it's a little bit higher. Now, I'm not going to argue about this, but I want to tell you what many Greeks or many scholars, biblical scholars, say about Sion. They think Mount Sion is where that Abraham offered Isaac.
Okay, because it's the highest place. The highest point.
The highest point in the city. All right, Sion. The highest point. It means higher place. It's higher than the rock of Moriah. Moriah is over here under the Dome of the Rock, right there. I've been in there. And many people think that that's the place where Abraham offered Isaac, right there on that stone. And it could be. But there are biblical scholars say that when Abraham was looking for that high hill, all right, he come up on there. We have Moriah and we have Zion. So Zion would be the highest hill, okay? It says, out of Zion he shall come, out of Zion the one delivering. All right, the one delivering, the Redeemer. Okay? It's the Ruminos. Ruminos. All right? Ruminos. The one snatching us away, the one delivering. All right? The one delivering. And Ruth 3 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, and Romans 5 and 9. Let's look at those verses. All right? Ruth 3 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, and Romans 5 and 9. And then 1 John 4 and 10. Let's look at it. The one delivering. Now, I wrote the word Goel up here last week, and Cindy even asked me about that the other night. How do I know that's this and that? When you go into to Brown, Driver, and Driggs or whatever, you look in there, and it'll have a whole page or whatever telling you all the different uses of it and the root. This is basically, most Hebrew is what? Written in three-letter roots. Some of them are two, but... most of them are three-letter roots. And Goel. What does Goel mean? Huh? It means a relative. All right, it means a relative. It means kinsman redeemer, like in Ruth 3 and 12, but it also means avenger. The avenger of blood. Okay, we're going to look at these, all of this. We just looked at it slightly last week, but let's go ahead and give the Bible some. Has someone have Ruth 3 and 12? Ruth 3 and 12, Jim.
Now, it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I.
All right, he's talking about he is a Goel. He is a relative, okay? Close relative. It is akistios in Greek. Akistios in Greek in the Septuagint. It's Goel in Hebrew, all right? The close relative. The redeemer, all right? And 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. Who is over there? Anyone there in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10? Anyone yonder yet? Bill.
When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed.
Okay, when he comes. All right. You know, our Redeemer is going to come and redeem us, isn't he? Right now, we have a promise. We have the promise and we have a seal in us that certifies that we're going to be redeemed. But we're not finished. It's not finished yet. Do you still suffer from the effects of sin today? Do we? Do we still suffer from it every day in our lives? We suffer from it. We feel the disease. Now, this young lady over here hasn't felt that too much yet. You haven't felt. Have you got any aches and pains yet? 17? No. Not too many, have you? No, not too many. All right. Brother Bill, you got any aches and pains?
Oh, man, you
want to rest? All right. Cindy, I mean, you're still getting around pretty good, but you do have an ache and pain now and then, don't you? That you didn't have when you were 17 years old. Yeah. 17 years old, boy, everything works.
Everything works.
Everything works. Then when you start going past those decades, decades and decades and decades, things quit working because of sin, because of degeneration, because of the infection that is in us. And we're going to get it into the blood. Harry told me not to talk about the blood until he got back. That was an order. He said, don't you go into a lesson on the blood until I get back. I'm going to do that. I haven't done it for about 5 years, so about once every 5 years I need to go into that very well. Bill, you remember the last time I went into that? It's been quite a while.
It's been
a long time. It may be more than 5 years. I don't know. But we went in, every now and then I'll throw something out at you just for you to think about. And then you can either chase it yourself or I'll help you later on yeah, as you go in it, but it's just something to think about. Something to think about. All right, who's got Romans 5 and 9 and then 1 John 4 and 10? Romans 5 and 9. Are you over there, Cindy? Not yet. Romans 5 and 9. Rebecca, are you there yet? All right. All right.
Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
All right, we're going to be saved from wrath. We're going to be absolutely, we're going to escape. It's talking there about the rapture and us escaping the great tribulation period. We're going to escape that. But I tell you what, more than escaping the tribulation period, I'm ready to have a new body. I got about 5 or 6 operations. I'm going to chop me up in little pieces and fillet me.
I'm keeping you around for spare parts, Jim.
They can just take my head and put it off on something else that would work better. You know, his body is just crawling along here. But my mind doesn't work so well either. Just crippling along with it, too. All right. The one delivering, he shall return. All right, now let's go and look at 1 John 4 and 10. 1 John 4 and 10. Are you there, young lady? Penny? All right, he is our Goel. He is our Goel. Now, to some other parts of the world, to those that are enemies of God, active haters of God, he is going to be the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood. Now, in the Old Testament times, Brother Jim, how many brothers do you have?
In the world?
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, okay, no, you don't have any brothers. How about sisters? Five sisters. Oh boy, you've got been blessed 5 times with girls, huh?
He was in pretty good shape for that.
Always got my own bedroom.
Yeah. All right. All right, now, back in the Old Testament days, if somebody did your sister wrong and killed her, you were the boy.
Yeah.
You're the boy. Okay, now, it was your job to go and avenge her debt. And you're supposed to hunt down the guy that did it. You're the officer of the court, so to speak. There were not jails back then. They were not prisons. If you did something really bad, now the only time that you could actually, if you kill somebody, if you shed somebody's blood, if you kill them, even if it was an accident, the avenger, a relative, could go and kill you. Now, there were cities of refuge you could go to. And as long as you stayed in the city of refuge, you were safe. Because they couldn't go in there. That was a safety zone. Those cities of refuge typify Christ. All of us are guilty of, we ought to be all burned, stoned, whatever, you know. But he is like our city of refuge. The avenger of blood could not go into the city of refuge and kill the person as long as he remained in that city. Okay? Now, let's look in some places in the Bible where it talks about the Goel, the avenger of blood. Numbers 35 and verse 12, Deuteronomy 19, 6 and 12, and Joshua 23 and verse 5. A lot of times I just throw something out at you and I just expect you to understand it. Like Brother Bill does sometimes. He says, hold on, wait a minute here.
If I ain't got it straight, I'm going to stop you.
Yeah. What we're doing here is we're looking at both avenues of this Goel, okay? This is Goel. That's what it actually is, Goel. All right? The avenger of blood. Now, if you have trodden under the foot the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted him as your Savior, see, he died for you. 1 John 2 and 2 says he died for ours, for everyone's sins, not only for the basically elect or whatever. Not only for our sin, but for the whole world. Jesus Christ's sacrifice covered. It is sufficient for all the world. but is efficacious only to those who will accept him or do accept him. The other ones are guilty of his blood. They're guilty as if they murdered him. Okay? All right, avenge your blood. Numbers 35 and verse 12. Are you over there, Brother Abe? Are you there anywhere? Numbers 35, 12? Anyone there yet? Numbers 35, 12? Numbers 35 and 12. Okay, you got the Deuteronomy 19, 6 and 12. Who's got Numbers 35? All right, Penny. All right. That means before the synagogue or before the gate of the city. All right. They could go after him. And he could be safe in a city of refuge. All right. Now, Deuteronomy 19, 6 and 12. Are you over there, Cindy? Anywhere around there? Who? Bill, you got it?
Yeah, you want to read 6 through 12?
No, 6 and 12. Yeah. Deuteronomy 19, 6 and 12.
Lest the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the man, slayer, and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him. For he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past.
All right, number 12.
Then the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there, and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, and he may die.
All right. Now Joshua 23 and 5. Joshua 23 and 5. And as we're going there, there's a little event in my family that talks about this.
The avenger of blood. Among the American Indian people, they practice this same thing. This was practiced all the way from the time of Adam and the time of Noah. They practiced these things. Not everything was written down, but there were certain things he practiced. When it came to the law of Moses, many times what Moses said was what was already being practiced. You didn't lie, you didn't cheat, you didn't take some man's wife. If you did, you were in a whole lot of trouble. Okay? Are you over there, Brother Abe? No, not there. Who's over in this one? Joshua 20 and verse 3 and verse 5. Are you there, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
That the slayer who kills anyone accidentally and unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he killed his neighbor unintentionally, having had no hatred for him previously.
Okay, now if you kill somebody on purpose, that's a different story. Different story. My great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul, killed close to 20 men. His mistake is five of them were white. He killed five white outlaws, and they tried him every time for murder. Every time. Now, there was a lot of killing in my family. And some of you read that book, Shadow Woman, Indian Star. My cousin, Janison McClure, and his buddy, talked Joe, my uncle Joe Paul, into killing his father. Now, my uncle and my grandfather had a lot of gunfights. If you've read that book, you find them out in the streets fighting, shooting, and everything else. And the whole problem was that Joe had, he was so jealous of his father's attentions to politics and everything else in life that he was absolutely mad with jealousy. And he basically molested his wife, his stepmother. Well, when he did that, Sam Paul went after him to kill him. And they had several gunfights. Finally, he came out here to California and in Santa Barbara and lived out here for a while. And then Smith, Paul, and him went back to Oklahoma, back to Paul's Valley. Well, they patched it up after they had a gunfight or two more. And Sam put some bullets in Joe several times. And Sam was hit a couple of times lightly by Joe. Well, Jennison got Joe liquored up real good. And he kept telling him, he said, now, he married that woman back again. You all went and got a divorce. He's going to come after you and he's going to kill you. Well, Sam had said, well, I'm not going to do that. He patched it up. He swore that he wouldn't do it, so he was a man of his word. But Joe was drunk. And they kept him drunk. They kept him drunk until he finally walked in with a 12-gauge lever-action Winchester shotgun, as my grandmother, great-grandmother told me, walked into a restaurant where he was sitting down and shot him in the head. And when Sam saw him coming through the door, he could see him. He did not draw his pistol to shoot him. He just sat there and took death as it stood in front of him, as he had faced death so many times in his life. He did not draw and shoot him. He probably could have shot him enough to keep him off of him, but he didn't do it. He had promised him. His word meant something. He shot him and then walked over and shot him one more time to make sure he's dead. He said, I guess I had to do this. It was a political assassination. Well, they said, it's just an Indian killing another Indian. They didn't ever try that. They didn't try you for killing. They just glad to get rid of Indians, you know. That we were a responsibility, you know. We could get their, they could get our land if they killed us, you know. Just take it. Kill all, let them all kill each other. Well, they were going to try Job because Sam was the first Indian that was also an American citizen. He said, if I'm an American citizen, they can't take what I have away from me. That was the whole story. Indians weren't American citizens. So he was a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation, an American citizen too. So they were going to try Joel for murder in Texas. And he was going to get on the train one morning and go to Texas and go and stand trial. Well, he had told Jennison, I'm not going to hang alone. I just may have to tell him why I did it. So Jennison comes in there and shoots Joel in the same restaurant. He's sitting over there eating sardines. Sam was eating a steak. But Joel's over there up there at the bar eating sardines, and Jennison walks in there and shoots him in the back with a Winchester. He stumbles out the back door and lives for about 15, 20, 30 minutes, but he died. Well, now Joel has killed my grandfather. My cousin kills my uncle. And then I have two other uncles that are my grandmother's, great-grandmother's brothers. And that's Joe, or Buck and Willie. Buck's kind of quiet. He won't hardly talk. He never did. And Willie is a little more boisterous and outgoing. They get together and they said, well, we're going to the Avenger of Blood. This is the whole story. This goes way back. Don't ever think. Every people, every place in the world has a story of the ark and the universal flood. Did you know that? And I don't care how far back in any country you're going to go, you're going to find a history of a universal flood on this world. And when you go back, all the way back to Noah, how many sons did Noah have? Three sons. They were teaching the law all the way back, and there was still the story of the Goel, the avenger of blood. And there was still the Redeemer that they were looking forward to. It goes all the way back to there. And the whole world has been populated by those people. Well, the Chickasaw people in my family can be traced all the way back to 1539 and 40. When Hernando de Soto came to this country and lived in the Indian village there in the Chickasaw Nation in Mississippi. And then when in springtime, they put up with him and supported him all winter long, and then when he got ready to leave, he wanted to make slaves out of the Indians. That didn't work. They killed a bunch of them, run off all his hogs and everything else, and the history of the family goes all the way back. The Gold Force and the Moshukchu. That was my family, Moshukchu. They were called Brown later. Moshukchu. These same laws written in the minds of these people come all the way down. Buck and Willie lived in a town like 50 miles away. They said, let's get a set of horses, two horses apiece, and we'll ride over there to Paul's Valley, and we'll make sure everybody sees us over in this other town, and we're going to ride all night long, and we're going to kill Jennison, because he killed our brother and got our father killed, avengers of blood. Okay? They rode those horses hard for the first 25 miles and then had another relay and then rode them hard in there. They waited for Jennison. Jennison was playing cards with Molman Pruitt and a few others in Paul's Valley. And an Indian walked in there and said,
Willie Tall's in town. And he knew that they were the Avengers of Blood. Well, he said, I go home. Well, old Mom and Puss said, you better not go home. You better stay here tonight. I'll pay for your room. He said, I go home. He went out there and they had a gunfight in the street. They took his body out, put it on the Santa Fe Railroad tracks, and the Santa Fe Railroad finished him off. They picked up the pieces, and Bowman Pruitt said, if you'll look real close, you'll find out some little bitty holes in that old Indian boy that Santa Fe Railroad didn't put into it. Those were the Avengers of Blood. The Avengers of Blood. And so all Israel shall be saved, just as has been written. He shall come out of Zion, the one delivering, the Goel, and he shall turn away. Alright? He shall turn away. Apo and strepse. Apo strepse. That comes from apo and strepo. And third person singular, future indicative, active. Carelessness. Carelessness. Ausebius. How many of you ever heard of the Christian historian and leader back called Eusebius? Eusebius. You ever heard of Eusebius? Eusebius history and all that? Eusebius, his name meant to be careful. Eusebius. Good. Good persuasion. All right? Eusebia. It comes. Now, this is asebomenos. Asebomenos. This word comes from it, and it means not careful. They are uncareful. They're impious. They're carelessness. They are wild. Reckless. All right? Reckless. Uncareful. From Jacob. Now let's go back and look at this in the Amplified Bible. Rebecca, have you got your Amplified Bible open right there? All right. 11 and verse 26.
And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob.
All right. The deliverer will come from Zion. Now let's go back to Zion and look at Zion just a little bit more. Zion is called the city of God in Psalm 87 verses 2 and 3 and Isaiah 60 and 14. It's called the city of God. It's also, remember what it means in Hebrew? Zion? Zion? Fortress. Jesus is our what? Fortress. He is our fortress, okay? And, of course, in Greek, it means projecting or high point. I have some things down there. The high point of old, the old city called the Fortress of David. It's called the Fortress of David. Was Zion. Okay? It's called the City of David also. It was also called Jebush a long time ago. Jebush. Jebush. And Jebush was inhabited by the what? The Jebusites. The Jebusites. Alright? And now, the city of Jebus was taken from the Jebusites by David in 2 Samuel 5, 6 through 9. So this city goes way back. Okay? 2 Samuel 5, 6 through 9. In 1 Chronicles 11, 5 through 7, it's called there after the city of David. Alright? In 2 Samuel 6, 12 and 16, 1 Kings 8 and 1, 1 Chronicles 11, 5 through 7, and 1 Chronicles 15, 1 and 29, and 2 Chronicles 5 and 2. This city is pretty important in biblical history. That's why I'm going into this. Let's think about it just a little bit. The Ark of the Covenant was placed there in Zion in 2 Samuel 6, 12 and 16. All right? The Ark of the Covenant was taken and placed in Zion. And it stayed in Mount Zion until when? Anybody remember? All right. The Ark of the Covenant was placed there in Zion in 2 Samuel 6, 12 and 16, 1 Kings 8 and 1, and 1 Chronicles 15, 1 and 29, and 2 Chronicles 5 and 2. The Ark of the Covenant, after it was placed there, was removed from Zion to Solomon's temple on Mount Moriah in 1 Kings 8, 1 and 2. And 2 Chronicles 5 and 2 and 3 and 1. The word Zion and the name Zion is used as equivalent to Jerusalem in expressions as daughter of Zion in Lamentations 4 and 22. All right? In Isaiah 1 and 8, Isaiah 52 and verse 2, Jeremiah 4 and 31, 2 Kings 19, 21, Matthew 21 and verse 5, John 12 and verse 15, Romans 9 and 33, and of course 11 and 26, and Hebrews 12 and 22, and Revelation 14 and 1. So when you just look at, we just jump over a name sometimes, it means something. It's very important. Zion is very important. All right? Now, 11 and 27. Romans 11, 27. Can you guys read this? This is not too hard one right there. Cindy, can you start that one off? Tie. All right. What's the next word? Hate. All right. And then altois. What's the next word? Hey. Par. Emoi. Diatheke. All right. Hotan. Aphelome. Tos. Harmartios. Alton. Now let's go and look at this word. Are these words. And this, with them, the covenant, is what that hey there goes over there with diatheke, okay? Hey is a little way from it. Like when we had the something, the covenant, but in Greek it says the covenant from me, the covenant when. It's kind of doubling up the covenant. The covenant is very important, so it uses it twice in there, even though it's not written twice, it's there twice. I may bear away the sins of them. Alright? Now, this is not a political deliverance, it is a religious and ethical deliverance. Okay? When Jesus came to his little church and called his little church out, they made some mistakes. They couldn't tell the first coming from the second coming, could they? They had some problems, didn't they? They didn't quite understand why he didn't. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom unto Israel right now? Did Israel accept him? No. How could he restore the kingdom unto Israel when they were in rebellion? They wanted to kill the Messiah king. How could he give the kingdom to them if they wanted to kill him? See, they didn't understand the difference between the first coming. Jesus came riding on a donkey, and they say was even a white donkey, into the city of Jerusalem. And the second time when he comes riding on the white horse charger with his saints. All right? Two different comings. The little church didn't understand that, and neither did John the Baptist, did he? John the Baptist, he didn't quite understand it. He thought the Lord was going to bring in his kingdom, but why are all these people fighting him, and why are they trying to kill him if he's really the Messiah? So he sent an emissary to Jesus, remember, when just before he was about to be killed, and he said, are you the Messiah, or are you going to look for another? Because he was in doubt. He was in doubt. He didn't know, why doesn't he take... just reach with all of his power. Why doesn't he go whoom, like he's going to do with the Avenger of Blood when he comes back the next time? The first time he came as the Goel, the Redeemer. The next time he's coming back as a Revenger of Blood, and he's going to bring everything under his control. See? What a verse we just had. Tells the whole story of redemption. Isaiah 59 and 21 and 27 and verse 9 and Hebrews 8 and 10 and Hebrews 8 and 12 are cross-reference to this. Cindy, do you have that in Amplified Bible right there? Could you read that for me, verse 27?
And this will be my covenant with them when I shall take away their sins.
All right. This will be my covenant with them when I shall take away their sins. The Lord is going to take away the sins of Israel, of Zion, so to speak.
of Jerusalem and all that. This is going to be where he's going to set up his kingdom. But what's going to have to take place beforehand? He's got to get them ready to accept him. And they are not ready. They want all the promises of God today. They want all the promises of God right now. Without the Messiah, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get the promises of God until they accept the Messiah. Not going to happen.
I think more and more of them are today, though, Jim.
Well, some are being saved. When they're saved, they're no longer Jews, aren't they?
Yep.
They're born again. All right? A Jew to be saved today has to cease from being a Jew. He really needs to cease from being a Jew. He's got to lay it down just like Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter, you need to be born again. You need to die to your own nationality and be raised unto the kingdom of God. That's what it is. Now that is real hard for a Jew to do today. Even when they say they accept the Messiah, they still want to hold on to that national identity, don't they? I remember old Zola Levitt. He said, I tell you what, they asked me, what am I going to do when the Lord comes back? He said, I'm going. He said, I'm not a Jew anymore. I'm leaving this place. Maybe they're trying to reach Jews, but he said, I'm leaving, man. He said, I don't want this. This is for the unbelieving Jews. And he's going to be the avenger of blood when he does that. All right. Bereath, covenant. The word bereath. Bereath. That's the same word. Bereath. That word bereath, that means a cutting. A division. What does the word DSAK mean? It means a cutting, a division. When we have a cutting and division, then we have shalom. We have peace. What does shalom mean?
Agreement.
An agreement. It means the same thing, an agreement. When you have peace, you have an agreement between two parties. And that agreement gives them peace. All right? You're not going to have peace with God until you come to God His way. It's not going to be the way of religion. It's not going to be the way of the world. It's not going to happen. When you have agreement with God, when you have real peace with God, you have to come on His premises. You're not going to invent your religion. I tell you what, man has done a real good job inventing religions, haven't he? Huh? Luke 16 and verse 16. Someone read that for me right now. I want you to see. I want that verse to come alive in you. Because that's very important. Luke 16 and verse 16. Have we got that in an Amplified Bible or anything? Let's look at it in several translations. Brother Phil, what do you got for translation you have? Which one?
Greet one another with a holy kiss.
Luke 16 and 16. Luke 16 and 16. What in the world? Where in the world were you? First John something? All right. Gabriel, are you there? All right. Luke 16 and 16? All right. Can you read that for me real loud?
The law and the prophets persist proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached to all people.
All right. King James. Now, what translation was that? NIV. Let's look at King James. Let's look at the Amplified Bible. Let's look at that thing in several different views. All right. What have you got there, Zinni? Amplified.
Until John came, there were law and the prophets. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone strives violently to go in.
Oh, everyone strives violently to go in. And where's King James? Have you got King James over there, Rebecca? Who's got King James? Anybody got that? You have that, brother? New King James. Oh, well, let's see what New King James says.
The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressed into it.
All right. What it literally means is the kingdom of God is suffering violence, like it says in the Amplified Bible. Again, read that in the Amplified, Cindy. Are you there still? I wasn't finished with you yet. Okay.
Until John came, there were the law and the prophets. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone strives violently to go in.
Okay, now read it in King James, because King James is not too far off there, for once.
Regular
King James, the old King James, okay?
The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it.
Is that New King James?
Oops, I'm sorry. You're right. That's
yes, that's the New King James.
Okay.
It says that something almost right. It almost got it right there for by accident, I think.
The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man.
Okay. And the kingdom of God suffers violence, is what it says, I think, in King James. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The Lord called out His little assembly. And He established that assembly. The king had established the executor in His kingdom. He set aside Israel. Israel was set aside. The law and the prophets were unto what? God. Since the preaching of John, what did John preach? He preached a gospel of repentance, didn't he? Repent, for the kingdom of God is where? Here. Right now. It is among you. Now, it is here. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not 5 years from now. The king is here. The king is here. The king has come. Let him take his rightful place, because the toad was squatting on the throne, and the toad was Esau's descendant, Herod, not Jesus. Well, they didn't run Herod off, did they? Herod tried to kill him. Herod tried to murder the child.
Both Herods.
What?
Both Herods, didn't
they? Oh, yeah.
Both of them.
Well,
son.
There was a lot of Herods, you know. We won't get into that. We'll be on another rabbit. Okay. But Herod, the Herod was on the throne when Jesus was born. The Magi came to him, the magistrates from a far kingdom. These were the leaders in the far kingdom, and they knew that Jesus was going to be born because they had the writings of Daniel. And they knew what time he was going to be born. So did those silly Jews. They knew when he was supposed to be born. They weren't in the dark, but they didn't want him. They didn't want him. When he was born, he was over there in Bethlehem. He was over there for a couple of years, I guess. We don't have any record of them running over there and seeing him, bowing down and worshiping him. Why? When those Magi came, then Herod says, he asked the scribes, who are the scribes and the lawyers? The scribes and the lawyers. Who are the scribes and lawyers? The scribes were those that wrote down the Bible. They were acquainted with the Bible because when they wrote the Bible, now how many of you have written several verses of the Old Testament or the New Testament in Greek or Hebrew, written it out? You have, Brother David. You have to go back and check yourself, make sure you didn't make mistakes. Now, I've had people here in this classroom for 16 years. And I have made some mistakes. And I have checked myself two or three times, and it's still, these scribes checked each other constantly. They were editors. So, Herod calls in all the editors of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and they said, where's the Messiah going to be born? And what did they say? Yeah, they know where he's supposed to be born. They weren't dumb to that fact. Well, over there in Bethlehem. Okay, over there in Bethlehem, go over there and find him. When you find him, come back and tell me, and I'll go worship him too. In the meanwhile, they didn't come back. They were warned of God. And then Joseph was warned of God, so he flew down to Egypt. And the Magi went home in another direction. And then Herod says, well, let's kill them all. Let's kill everybody 2 years old and under. Just like what Pharaoh did in Egypt. The baby's got to die again. They didn't Did any Jew, did any Pharisee, did anybody, did any of the Levites or any of them, did they object to what Herod did? No. Because they didn't care. They were happy with their religion. Already the kingdom of God was suffering violence. Because the king had come. And the kingdom of God was suffering violence. Okay? Still. Now this is not a political deliverance. Remember. This is not a political deliverance. This is a religious and ethical deliverance. They were going to be delivered from their religion. Religion does what? It's the act of binding you back again. But false religion can bind you away from God. False religion bound them away from God 2,000 years ago, and it's still binding them away from God today, isn't it? 2,000 years ago. 1128. How does that start out here? Can anyone start that out? Just read that real loud. Anybody? That's easy. You know, that's just like it is in English, isn't it? Gabriel, can you read that? That first word? Kata. All right, there you go. See, you can read Greek already. Kata. All right. And then what's the next word? Man. And this one's real easy. I bet you can read this one too, can't you? Toe. Toll, all right, and then euangelion, all right, euangelion. That's a little harder, see. So I'd help you do that. You mean on the front of a word means what? You good, all right, and then ektroi, d. Now it actually is dia, but they dropped the alpha on the end of that. Okay, and then himos, and see that rough breather over the top of that. That acts as an h, all right. And he and we have what is hypo. Glycemia. Hypoglycemia. What is that? Under. It's hypo. That's the word. It's just like that. Hemos. All right? Hemos. And then here's that word again, Gabriel. Kata. And then here's an easy one to read also. What one's that one? Day. And then tain. Eklogain. Agapetoi. Dia. Tus pateras. All right, let's go back and look at this one now. According to that little preposition, page 213 and page 31 in my grammar. Go there, page 31 in my grammar. How many of you have numbered my little grammar? In my little grammar, the little one. Page 31. All right. Look it over there. It says kata right down at the bottom of the page. I'm teaching you how to use just a little bit. Page 31. Down at the bottom. What does it say? I want one of you to read it. Page 30. How many of you have numbered your pages yet? No, you haven't done that. Cindy, are you over there? All right. What does it start out there? Kata.
Preposition of place.
A preposition of place. All right. And what does it mean there? Is anyone else over there? Are you over there, Chris? Right down at the bottom, what does it say? Preposition to place, and then what else?
According to, by, under, down.
All right, page 213 in the analytical Greek lexicon. All right. There you are. It's a preposition to place. So we understand that it's a preposition to place. According to, or down under, okay? Indeed. All right, we have a little particle. All right, indeed. The good news, the gospel. The gospel. Euangelion. We get the word angel right out of this word. Angel is a messenger, isn't it? The good news or the good message. That's the gospel. The gospel is not a message of rules. It is not Mormonism. It is not Jehovah's Witness dogma. It is not Garner Ted Armstrong. You know, old Garner Ted Armstrong and Herbert W. Armstrong, they used to exact a triple tithe from their people. They worked it out where they could exact a triple tithe. False religion will always ask more of you than God does. I can guarantee you that much. Gospel. And then ekthroi. What's that word ekthroi there mean? What does that mean? Enemies. Active haters. Luke 16:16. The kingdom of God, since John the Baptist, has suffered violence. Has suffered violence. All right. Active haters because of you, according to, but the picked out ones, the elected ones, beloved because of the Father. Let's go back and look at that in the Amplified. Rebecca, are we over there in 11:27 and 8 in the Amplified?
And this will be my covenant, my agreement with them when I shall take away their sins. From the point of view of the gospel, the news, they, the Jews at present, are enemies of God.
Oh, boy. Enemies of God right now. Are they still enemies of God? Oh, yeah. They can call themselves the land of God, the city of God. They can call themselves God's people. But what does the Bible call them? Enemies. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Which is for your advantage and benefit. But from the point of view of God's choice of election of divine selection, they are still the beloved dear to Him for the sake of their forefathers.
All right. He's going to bring them back. He's going to love them. In the end time, right over here, He's going to love them. Yeah. And He's going to make administrators of His kingdom on the earth. I tell you what, I don't want the terracotta. I don't want this ground. I want that stuff up above. I want my streets paved with gold. I don't want them over in Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem. That's a rock pile, people. You been there, Cindy? That's a rock pile. The people on the earth, there is going to be 1/6 of the world and 1/3 of the Jews go through the tribulation period into the kingdom. The Jehovah's Witnesses today say, I want to go to the kingdom. I don't want to go to heaven. They can. You know what they're going to have to do to go through the kingdom? They're going to have to go through that. And I know 5 out of 6 of them aren't going to make it. And 2 out of 3 Jews aren't going to make it. It's going to take a rescuing factor. Our Goel, our kinsman redeemer, is going to have to rescue them. But he's also going to be the avenger of blood. Romans 5 and 12 and 9 and 5, Deuteronomy 7 and 8 and 10 and 15. Yeah. And, beloved, because of the fathers, the pateros. The pateros. The Latin term is the pater familia. And in Hebrew, it's what? Avi. The fathers. Because of the fathers. Thank you for your attention tonight. We'll start in 11:29. Not next week, remember. We won't be here next week. All right. And this is the 16th? Is this the 16th? All right. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. I hope you learned something. Go out and do something what? Eternal that you can take into those streets of gold. Not terracotta, not on the ground. Terra firma. All right, let's have a word of prayer and sycamore.